Amen.
Thank you, brother. If you will, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles. Easy to find this week. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. Brantley will have up on the screen. We'll be in Genesis 6, 9 through 22 this morning. Finished up the free series last week in a little bit of a different fashion. We kind of did the testimonies. It was great to hear how that series, particularly God's Word, not necessarily the series, had impacted us as individuals, and heard stories after that, before that. So we were really grateful for our time in Galatians. And before we start our new series, we're kind of dipping back into an old one that we bring back every once in a while, and it's this series named Paul. And as you can see on the graphic there, for those that don't remember, that is actually a payphone. You used to have to put money in a phone to use it. Anybody ever used a payphone in here? Okay, so hard to find one now, I'm sure. But, you know, in listening to a calling, we wish it was that easy. We wish it was a ring on the other end of the line, and you pick up the phone, and it's God, and God says, Jimmy, this is what I have for you to do. And it's that clear cut and simple. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a struggle, and especially with big life decisions. You know, people in this room, very room, are praying and asking God, God, what would you have for us to do as an individual, as a family? What would you have for us to do? What are you calling me to do? And so the reason we come to places like this in Scripture is to come to men and women in Scripture who had a very specific calling in their life. Okay? That's why we go to this, because we believe in this place we are called individuals. You're called a twofold way. One, you're called into a salvation relationship. You're called into a relationship with God. If you don't know that, the words that we just sang, this redeeming love, you were bought with a precious price, right? You were called into a relationship with God, only found through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And so you're called into this relationship of salvation, but after you answer that call, there's another calling, and that calling is ministry. And you may say, man, I don't know where you're going with this, Keith, but I'm not called to minister. I'm not called to get up and preach. I'm not called like you yesterday to stand before a group of people and to perform a wedding ceremony or to go and preach a funeral or to do any of these things. That may not be your ministry, but let me assure you this morning, if you have been called into salvation, you've not been called to sit, you've been called to serve. God has called you into a ministry. You are the priesthood of the believer if you have a relationship with God. You are meant to serve. You are meant to be this you remember the old school signs like that had the arrow? We've got one at our work, and it's got like the lights that flash if it works. Most of them don't work anymore, and they're just an arrow, right? That's our job. We are to be that blinking arrow, and not necessarily pointing to the side of a business, but turn the arrow up and pointing up. Our job as believers, those of us that are called into salvation, are to point people to the one true living God. As we prayed earlier, where our country is headed, and obviously where the world was headed at this point in Scripture, where we find is a wicked place, and our job in that is to be people who are blameless and righteous before God because we walk in Him, and to point people to Him. So let me assure you this morning, if you've been called into salvation, you have been called to serve, you have been called into ministry. It may take different forms, it may take different shapes, it may be from your job where you teach at a school, it may be from your work where you go to school, it may be just your family, it may be all kind of things that people that God places in your path that you're to minister to, but you are all ministers if you have that relationship with God. Well, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 6 and look at a man who had a very unique calling, one that I doubt anyone will have to repeat, okay? But there are some things in here that we will look at a man by the name of Noah and look at his calling. Now, I want you just to stop and think about Noah. There is probably not a story in Scripture that has garnered more attention than Noah, other than probably Jesus and the crucifixion and all this. Think about that. Not too long ago in movies, you had Russell Crowe, from what I hear, very inaccurately portray Noah. I never watched it because I read the reviews and saw the things ahead of time about that. I don't know if you did. There's no judgment if you did. But seeing that portrayal of Noah, I hear that there's nothing like Noah in Scripture. But we saw that that was one of the things. Thinking about nurseries, how many nurseries have you seen painted with the idea of Noah's Ark and the cute little animals and all this? And really, when we think about it, Noah's story is a story of great destruction and death. You know, there's nothing like welcoming home a sweet bundle of joy, and now let's put destruction and death all over your wall, and God loves you, little child, right? I mean, it's kind of weird when you think about it, but you see the little toys, and I remember our kids had the little types brands of the, you know, the animals and the Noah's Ark and all of these things. It is very much immersed. Any Bill Cosby fans in the place, I know that's kind of taking a different turn, but I can remember going back as a child and hearing Bill Cosby talk about the story of Noah, and it was very funny if you've never heard it. It's just the ideas of what Noah would go through when God said, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark, right? I want you to build it by this many cubits. What's a cubit, right? It was just a very funny bit, and you think about that. Right now, I don't know if you've heard, but in Kentucky at the Creation Museum, right, the Answers in Genesis folks are building a life-size ark. It's going to be open in July. It's going to be massive. And they said that when you skeptical, those of this story of saying he really took two of every kind of animal, put them on a boat, that when you go and see the massive just enormity of this size of a boat, you can look at it and see, man, it's possible, right? God did do what he said he did. And so you see all of these things, and even going back to an old movie, Evan Almighty, it's a story that has been constant throughout that people understand and know what the story of Noah and his ark is. This morning, though, I want us to point out some more important characteristics than just building a boat. There's some things that we can look at in Noah's life that I believe can translate to exactly where we are at in 2016. So if you have watched the news lately and have buckled in and said, man, these are the two best candidates we can find, or man, this is where our world is headed. We are in trouble and all of these things. Our world is turned so wicked when you hear the stories of death and destruction and rape and hate, anger, all of these things that are in the media today. And you look and say, man, what are we going to do? What are God's people going to do? I believe we can take some advice from how Noah lived his life and us try to emulate some of these things. If you'll look with me in Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 9, let's read a little bit in God's Word this morning. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, in breadth 50 cubits, and in height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with a lower, second, and third decks, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which it is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to the kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also with you, every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We trust that it's God-breathed, it's inspired by your Holy Spirit, written down not only for those original readers, but passed down through the ages for us to hear of your redemption story. Father, we thank you for today and just pray that when we hear and look over your words that your Holy Spirit would speak, that you would draw us closer to you today. That, Father, we could just learn something today maybe that we haven't thought about, or if it's something we have, that it would be renewed within us to bring us to a closer relationship with you. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm about to ask you something that's going to be uncomfortable because we're in church and we all feel like in this place, we're supposed to answer things in a certain way, especially when a preacher asks you from a stage a biblical question. You feel that you must side with God, but I'm going to ask something just in a way that I want you to be completely honest and transparent this morning. Do we have the understanding that this is a safe place to do that? Is everybody okay with that? How many of you have ever come to the story of Noah and his ark and have had some tinge of doubt about this story? Anyone? It's a difficult story, right? I'd say most would say, like, man, when I get to this and reading this story, and I think about, you know, man, they didn't even have power tools, right? I mean, my mind goes to that kind of thing, right? Not that the supernatural couldn't have been involved and helped Noah in this situation. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. I mean, so he already had that skill and understood. But to think about the story of this man building this big boat and placing the animals and the flood and killing all the people, it really is a far out story. I want to tell you where I've come down to this right here, because, man, if you talk with anyone in this world who does not believe in God and wants to try to throw darts at the inerrancy of Scripture and all these things, they're going to point to Noah and his ark. They're going to say a statement like this: man, you mean to tell me you believe that a man built a boat and put all the animals on it and the flood and all the... It's going to happen. Right? If you too were once a skeptic in this room, you probably have used that argument, right? It's an easy one to go to, but here's what I've had to come down to. And this and many other stories in Scripture, quite honestly. I have to come to a place and say, what kind of faith am I going to have? Am I going to have faith in a God that I've seen that's living and active in my life that sent His Son Jesus to die for me? Or I'm going to have faith that this world just popped out of existence and there it is? To me, the greater faith is to be that of one that doesn't believe in God. I believe this to be the truth of God. I believe it to be without error. I believe that God called a man named Noah to build a boat and to put the animals on there, and there was a flood. I believe that. Call that old-fashioned. Call that something, whatever you will. I believe that this is the truth of God. And so I just want to tell you this morning, if you've had doubts and all those things, that's okay. God is big enough to handle your doubts. It's okay to go to God and say, man, that's a far out story, God. You're going to have to help me with this. You're going to have to give me a little more faith to understand this story. So I just wanted to say that ahead of time. I want us to look at a few things from this story, specific about Noah, and not so much about the flood. We all know the story. We've heard it ever since we were a little child, possibly sitting in a Sunday school room with butter cookies and Kool-Aid and listening to the great story of Noah and his ark, okay? But I want us to look specifically at the life of Noah this morning. First thing I want you to see, that in a land of wickedness, in a land of moral corruption, in a land that is so morally corrupt and so spiritually bankrupt, that God has looked at this entire world and said, this must stop. Here's one thing I want to just tell you before we get into Noah. Sin is a big deal to God. Right? When God is able, the Holy God is able to look over everything that He created and said, man, this is good. The earth is good. But then when He created mankind, said, this is very good. When He's able to look at that pinnacle of His creation and say, it's got to stop. Right? What they're doing has to stop. And there's such a drastic move that is about to happen that God is going to flood the earth and basically have a reboot of creation. This was a wicked place. This was a place of violence. It said this was a place of hatred, and we know murder and all the things that we've read just in the first six chapters of the Bible, that this place was corrupt. Listen to this about Noah. In a land of wickedness and moral corruption, number one is this: Noah was righteous. Noah was a righteous guy. Here's what the word righteous means: morally right. He was good. He was upright. He was decent. He stood that way. He stood out in a morally corrupt world. Let me just camp out here for just a second. If there was ever a time in our history, in your life, that there is a moment where you need to stand your ground and stand out against a morally corrupt society, it is right now in 2016. God is wanting His people to stand up and stand firm in His truth. Because everything, the way it's going in our world, is going against that. We are the ones that are being singled out, and even more so in the days to come, will be singled out for our faith, and honestly have to take a genuine stand, possibly in the face of real persecution. Not the kind of persecution that when you go sit in your cubicle, somebody says, man, do you believe what Brantley believes about Noah and the Ark? That's not really persecution. Right? That may be considered as making fun of, but there may be a day when Brantley, in that same scenario, possibly has a life or death moment, do you really believe what you believe? That's persecution. Our brothers and sisters have faced that all over the world, and we've been blessed, if you look at it in that way, to avoid that. But that day possibly is coming. And so in this land of wickedness that Noah saw, in the land of wickedness that we see, we need to be people who are righteous, morally right, in upright standing, different than what others look at and see this immorality in our world. Number two, here's what I want you to see. Noah was righteous because he walked with God. I want you to know that Noah didn't take his tunic and pull it back and go to the people and there was some S on his chest where he was a super Christian. It wasn't the fact that he had from another planet and he'd come here to save the world and he was some superhuman kind of being. No, Noah was righteous, not because of anything he did. It says that Noah was righteous because he walked with God. Look at verse 11 again with me. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. This place that was filled with violence, it wasn't just a smidge of violence, right? It wasn't just a little dash. It wasn't just kick it up a notch. It was filled with violence. It says that Noah was someone who walked with God. I challenge you. What does it look like in 2016 for you, a brother or sister in Christ of mine, to walk in God? So what Noah did. When Noah was faced in living in a world when no one else believed as he did, right? When Noah was about to be called to do this outrageous kind of crazy thing for God, Noah was someone who was righteous and blameless because he walked with God. And doesn't it sound real personal to walk with God? In fact, when I hear that imagery, when I see that, I think back to the Garden of Eden and I think of Adam and Eve literally walking with God. Rebecca, literally walking with God, right? I mean, having afternoon walks with God, this conversation with God. Remember the original sin and God goes out to the garden and he's like, where are y'all? Like he didn't know. And they were in hiding, not wanting to see this holy God. But here it says Noah walked with God. It was an active thing. It wasn't just this, I'm going to say a prayer and hope everything's all right and just trust the rest to you, God, and live just peacefully and not really make a scene or all of these things in this immorally corrupt world. No, it says that Noah walked with God. It was active. He went against the crowd. If we're honest in here this morning, we could say that that's one of the hardest things to do in our world, because in us, in our sinful nature, there's this innate thing where we want to fit in. Regardless if you say, no, that's not me, man, we want people to like us. Here it says, walk with God. Let me just challenge you with this one thought. If you are going to walk with God in 2016, you will not fit in this world. Not if you really do it. Right? If there's maybe a smidge of walking with God and that happens to be on Sunday or a small group or certain little things like that, or you throw in the occasional, well, you know, the big man upstairs, you start throwing around the name Jesus. You start trying to live in a way where you serve others who persecute you. You pray for those who are your enemies, all of those things. I want to tell you, you will not fit into this world that is dog eat dog. But Noah did. Noah walked with God. Look at number three here. Noah had a specific calling, very specific calling. In fact, we look in scriptures we just read, there's instructions. I want you to build an ark, Noah. I want you to build it out of this kind of wood, out of gopher wood. I want you to build it by this many cubits, by this many cubits. There were very specific instructions that Noah had. I want you to think about your life. Is there any specific calling God has called you to? There is in my life. It's obvious, right? In this place, in this time, God has called me to pastor this group, right? Yours may not be as drastic. It may not be a deal where you quit your job and you go into full-time ministry or you do bivocational ministry or any of these kind of things. But is it the fact that God has given you a very specific calling? I want to just go ahead and break that news for you. I think yes. I think God has given you a very specific calling. Hopefully it's not to go into your neighborhood and start crafting a boat as Evan Almighty did and in this movie and you know, just living in a subdivision and building a boat and having all these random animals come up. I don't think that's going to happen, right? But in your life, maybe there is something specifically you feel God just drawing you towards. He did that in Noah's life, obviously, in this crazy, big kind of outlandish way. Maybe yours is not that outlandish. Maybe it's not that big. Because sometimes that's what we do. We say, man, if God's going to call, it's going to have to be something big, man. I just want to do something really big for God. It may be something really small. It may be back to that Andy Stanley quote from a few weeks ago of doing for one what you wish you could do for everybody. Right? Just ministering to people as they come along. And maybe that's a certain niche, a certain calling that God has given you. I can't answer that for you. But I do know this, if you seek God, if you ask Him, God, show me what I'm made for. Show me what you designed me for, then He will show you. I've said this over and over. One of the men I respect probably the most is Billy Graham. You know, just if for nothing else, a lifetime of seemingly, not saying that he doesn't have his sinful things and all that, but a lifetime of seemingly living for the cause of Christ. But I use this illustration in this, that Jack, if God has created you for a specific purpose, Billy Graham cannot do that any better than you. It was created for you. There's no slight on Billy Graham. That's just saying that Jack's important. He's special. Wouldn't you agree Jack is special this morning? Now, I mean, don't answer that out loud. Depending on how you answer that. But really, that's the case, is that God designed us for a specific task that only we could fulfill. He wants us to live a life of ministry for Him and with a specific calling. Number four, Noah had a covenant with God. A covenant's an agreement, right? And Noah had a pretty special agreement. His agreement was do this and live, all right? There was pretty significant instructions that went along with this. Noah, you better build an ark because a flood is coming. If you do this, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your family. And with that, a very specific task of that, you're going to multiply, create, and fill this earth back with people. Okay, so it was a pretty special role. We're glad that Noah did this because somehow through all that, we are here. If you don't understand that, come up and ask Jamie. She'll explain all the details later if you need to know about all that. Okay, number five, Noah did what he was called to do. Noah did what he was called to do. Listen to this, verse 22 is the last one we read. It says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Now, I just want to stop and think, and Bill Cosby probably did the best job in his bit, but you never really hear anymore about the conversation that God and Noah had, right? But think about that. Put yourself in Noah's shoes, right? That you're living your life, you're trying to be this moral and upright guy, you're walking with God, you're going against the flow, and this holy God comes to you and says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. I'm going to flood the earth. What would your thoughts have been? Would it have been something you would have been radical enough to say, okay, God, I'm going to do it? Because in Scripture, we don't see Noah ever really having any doubts. We don't see Noah questioning God. God, are you sure you're going to do this? I think Noah was someone who walked with God so personally, so intimate, that he understood and knew the voice of God and knew this wasn't some crazy thing he was dreaming up. He knew that when God called him into salvation, into this personal relationship, this walking with Him moment, and then when He called him into this specific task, he knew it was the voice of God. He walked with God so intently that he knew this was the voice of God. Here was something magical that happened in the life of a believer. God called him to do something, and he did it. How much differently would life be for us if we did that? If God called us in the small or the big, if we would just answer and do as He said. Look again at verse 22. Noah did this, talking about the ark. He did all that God commanded him. What if we lived life in that way? Keep your hands there in Genesis and flip. I want you to see one of the last things here about Noah. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, that famous chapter of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. Just a second to turn there if you are. Hebrews 11, 7. Here's what God's Word says. It says, by faith, Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Let me read this again. By faith, Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, things that have not happened yet, in reverent fear, constructing an ark for the saving of his household. Here's the sixth thing we see about Noah. He had great faith. Man, think about the faith of Noah. Things yet unseen, and here God commands this big picture. This thing was going to take big faith. This thing was going to take a lot of work. right? I mentioned it, no power tools, none of that kind of stuff. Not a whole lot of people helping, a whole lot of people walking by making fun. Noah, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? God told me to do this. People not believing in God. Noah, you're crazy. All of these kind of things, but Noah was persistent. Noah kept doing what God had called him to do. And listen to what it says again in the ESV. Concerning events as yet unseen. Noah couldn't see all this. This was blind faith. This was just a faith in God. And definition of faith is this. Listen to this. Complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. There is one word that is missed on the church today in that definition, and that is complete. He says complete trust. Do you have complete trust in God this morning, or is some of that trust in your paycheck? Some of that trust in the fact that your fridge has food in it? Some of that trust that your closet has clothes? Is some of that trust that when your key turns, your car cranks? Is some of that trust in the fact that when you get sick, you can go to a doctor? Like complete trust. Complete. Man, I just want to tell you that if this was the answer for corruption on earth, was for someone, one person in his family, to stand upright and say, you know what, I'm going to be righteous and blameless, not because of me, but because I walk with God. Man, if our world would have some people like that today, what an amazing place it would be for us. I just want to kind of venture back in this way, and I want you to make it personal this morning over the things that we've looked at Noah, these six things. Number one, what if you were righteous in a corrupt and violent world? What if that was you? What if starting this week you said, you know what, I'm going to be righteous and I'm going to walk blameless, not because of me, not because I'm perfect or any of these things, but because He is, and I'm going to walk in faith in Him, and I'm going to be this way in a violent, corrupt world. Number two, what if you were described as someone who walked with God? That's Noah's description. Recorded for all of history to know that Noah was someone who walked with God. What if tagged with your name, what if someone were to say, Donald Barnett, man, he walks with God. Rebecca Davenport, man, she walks with God. Would that not be an awesome thing for someone to even say while you're living, but at your funeral as well? Man, that was someone who walked with God. What an amazing characteristic to be tagged to your name in any kind of way. Number three, what if you sought your own specific calling? Noah did. Maybe it found him. Right? I doubt Noah was praying, Lord, I really want to build a boat today. He wasn't praying specific, but God had a specific calling for him. What if that was you? What if you sought out your specific calling? What if your next move in life is not based on what you want, but based on what God wants? He's the creator and all. He might have it figured out better than you. I know that stings. I know we like to be the God of our own life and think that we've got everything under control. But if the creator of all things maybe has a different plan, we might ought to try his and see how it works. Number four, trust your covenant with God. Noah had a specific covenant. You have a covenant too. And that covenant is you are who he says you are. Not who the enemy or not who the world tells you are. You are beloved. You are his heir. You're his son or his daughter. So what if you just began to live life this week trusting your covenant with God? See, the world would have classified Noah as a nut. I mean, think about that, right? If you're living in this time and you're living in this morally corrupt society, you would go and see Noah building this ark. And he built it for a long time, by the way. Right? Noah lived to be 600 years old. And I know that's a thing where you say, man, come on now. I just don't understand that. We trust in faith and we believe God's word is God's word. And so Noah, as he lived this life and he's building this ark and this massive project that's going on, do you imagine the insults that Noah got as people would walk by? Noah, where's the flood, man? It's not happening. Noah stuck to it. He would consider it a nut by the world standard, but in God's standard, the one that mattered. What was Noah? Righteous, blameless, somebody that walked with God. Doesn't matter what the world thinks about you. Trust in your covenant with God. Number five, he obeyed and sought his calling. What if we did the same? Seeking your calling and your role in God's church. Just doing what God calls you to do. Being that kind of person, right? That when God calls you to do something like Noah, the answer isn't, well, let me pray about it. right? Telling a creator God, let me pray about it. He's the one you're praying to. If he's calling you, there's no need to pray about it, right? He's calling you to do it. There's no need to pray and have more counsel with God. If he's calling you to do it and you know it's the voice of God because you walk with God and you hear his voice, then just do it. Just do what God's called you to do. Obey and seek out your calling in life, in this church, and in the lost world. And then lastly, like Noah, what if you had complete faith in a holy God? How would your life look different? If you had complete faith that if God called you to do something as crazy and as radical as build a boat because a flood's coming, would you do it? Would you have complete faith that even if it seems crazy, that you would jump out there and do what God's called you to do? Would you trust in him? And I just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. As we think about this story that we've heard millions of times probably, is there anything that resonates this morning? Twofold, I just want to ask this. I don't ever want to preach the gospel and not give a chance for this. If you're here this morning, you would say, man, I don't have that intimate relationship. I don't walk with God. Maybe you've never met God before. I just want a moment of reflection in this. If that's you this morning, please don't leave this place feeling that way. You come see me. You come see Jesse. You see Brantley. You see Jamie. See Donald. Anybody that you want to go to this morning and just say, man, talk to me about this. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Don't leave this place without that relationship settled. And if you're here this morning, say, man, I've got the relationship thing down. Like, I know God. I have that relationship with him. But man, to walk with God, like on a daily, and to have a complete faith like Noah did, I don't have that. If that's you and you'd be honest this morning and you would want me to know about it to even pray, would you just let me know, lift your hand, look at me, something? I want that, amen? I want to walk with God. I just want to pray God's blessing on you. Several look this way. No judgment on who that is. You put me in that same prayer. You pray that for me. I want to walk with God like Noah did. I don't do that. Not in all things. I want to do that. I want to have a complete faith in him. And so if that's you, let's all just kind of join in prayer together for that. And again, if you're here and don't know him today, don't leave this place. Today is the day of salvation. God's word says, don't put that off. You come see one of us and we'll get that straight today and celebrate with you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and it is my prayer that if someone in here is not my brother or sister in Christ through the blood of Jesus and what happened, transpired on the cross, I pray that today is the day that they enter the family of God and we could celebrate that together. And so, Father, just speak in that. Holy Spirit, you speak and convict and just bring to realization that if we're still caught in our sin, still dead in our trespasses, Father, that the wages that we've earned through that is an eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life in heaven. So, Father, that we would turn from that and turn to a Savior. Pray that you'd speak that over if that's necessary. And Father, for those who've already done that, if they say today, I want to walk with God, I want to be in a much deeper level in intimacy, Father, I want to have complete faith. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to live life that way? And Father, maybe if there's some in here today that have that relationship with you but are in a place right now, and we've all been there, we say, I don't want to walk with you. I don't want that kind of intimacy. I don't want to have complete faith in God right now. I just want to coast through. Would you convict there as well, lovingly? Again, no judgment. We've all been at that spot before where it just feels like we're coasting. Father, if that's us, you're big enough to speak through and take down those barriers that we've built. And so I just say, Father, in all these things, in salvation, in a wanting a closer intimacy with you, or even those who don't want that, would you just speak in all those ways today? Not just as we're here, but as we leave this place and throughout the week, would you just bring this story back to mind? And that we too, in this morally corrupt world that we live in, that seem to be getting worse every day that we draw breath, would you help us to be like Noah and be someone who's righteous and blameless, not to point to us and not to take the credit, but it'd be said of us, no, it's because they walk with God. Help us to that. We need you. We love you, and we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you want to continue in worship.